Blog Talk Radio.
Are you guys ready to worship out there tonight?
Good evening. Welcome to Doonland Christian Living Today. I'm Elliot Fosterson, and my co-host joining me as always is my wife, Dawn. Happy Mother's Day.
Hi, thank you, Elliot. I was going to say Happy Mother's Day back to you, but that will be soon.
Yes, well, that's okay. It's Family Day, and that's what's important. And from all of us at Doonland Christian Living, we'd love to thank you for listening to our show, but also just give a shout-out to all the moms that are out there listening, and hope that you're having a wonderful day in the family life that the Lord has provided for you, and that you're receiving all the love that you've provided in return. So Happy Mother's Day to everyone out there. I think we have a good show for you today. As always, we ask that you want to help us along with our ministry. Send us a note and drop us a line on what you think we can do differently or a scripture verse that may appeal to you directly. We'd love to hear from you. Our email address, as you know, is faithshare@dclnetwork.org. That's faithshare@dclnetwork.org. You can follow us on Twitter or like us on Facebook as well. And, you know, just hang out with us. Let us know what you think about the ministry. Give us some encouragement. Tell us some things that we can do to help improve things that will help make your journey in faith a little bit more in-depth and a little bit more spiritually dynamic for you. Let us know things that are happening for you. There's several things on our hearts and minds this day, but I think we're going to have a good discussion on top of that. Dawn?
That's the whole point of what we do here, is trying to enrich our faith life.
Yeah, and we're growing close these days to our starting point. Want to throw it out there for everyone. We have Memorial Day weekend coming up. That will kick us off for our Sunday worship at the Dunes with the campers at the State Park, at the Indiana Dunes State Park. We're looking forward to that this year as we've gone through some changes there with new leadership, and we're very thankful that they're going to allow us to continue bringing the word to the campers and to who the Lord provides to us this year. We've heard from several of our regulars saying that schedules have changed for them this year, and although they listen to us, follow our newsletter, they won't be able to join us this year. But that means that the Lord is going to bring through some fresh faces as well. So we're excited. And if you have noticed, I did get the newsletter out a little bit late, but I apologize for that. I hope you're still finding that a source of encouragement for you. And we just ask that you continue to promote that by moving it out, sending it forward to others that you see fit, something that you think it may help others in their journey as well, just by sending a simple link to either our show archive and or the newsletter archive. Help us spread the word on this ministry. So with that, Dawn, anything you want to start off with as we get into our discussion tonight? Anything?
I'm just ready to get started.
You're ready to go? Okay. And you selected a song?
Yes, we're going to listen to I Love to Tell the Story.
And as Dawn mentioned to just before coming on air, we have to get back into the studio with our son, Zachary, and make sure we get some new recordings coming forward. There are a couple things that she's been working on, and I know she's excited to get them recorded and edited and ready to broadcast. So in the meantime, let's listen to Love to Tell the Story. we love to hear that song each time that it's played, and it's just one of those sweet, set and tender older songs that just kind of draw you in, you know, the common ground and how our faith has maintained itself over the years. And that's probably going to be part of our conversation this day, too, that common ground of faith and a call to remind each other of how we are to care for each other in that. We're going to be working from the Epistle of Paul to Philemon. It's a letter to Philemon. And this is the full story of the letters regarding the return of a slave indentured servant. Philemon was a wealthy individual within the early church and had a falling out. And this was a runaway servant that came to Paul and came to faith in his time with Paul and served Paul very well. So Paul is sending him back now to Philemon, and he's giving Philemon encouragement of how now to treat this individual. Now, I'm going to leave that at that, but I just want to give you that as a backdrop here. It's a very short letter, but we're going to be getting into, I think, some good conversation for today on this. Dawn, you want to lead us forward?
That's what I'm going to say to you right now, that you're right, we're going to get into good conversation, because I still don't understand what's going on at all in this. But here it is, Philemon chapter 1, verses 4 through 7. I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers, because I hear about your love for all of his holy people and your faith in the Lord Jesus. Pray that your partnership with us in the faith may be effective in deepening your understanding of every good thing we share for the sake of Christ. Your love has given me great joy and encouragement, because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the Lord's people.
Okay, so let's walk right into that. This section, without looking at the full letter, you may not get the other portion of this, but I didn't want to let the verse go on too long because it gets a little too cumbersome then to deal with in such a short conversation. But definitely what you're seeing here is encouragement from Paul to, one, that he's lifting up all the faithful people to encourage them to continue on the good work, right? And we talk often how important that is for us to stand behind our brethren in faith, to lift them up in their journeys, and as they go through an expression of God in their lives, to try to move forward with others. And so Paul is, you know, placing that clearly back, that he has never lost sight of who he is and what he's doing on the benefits on behalf of his abilities within the church. So you have that affirmation and confirmation and encouragement that's coming from Paul. And all that is kind of a setup to what's going to happen later in the letter. And what he's trying to do is to say, listen, you've been a good person. You've moved the word to so many people. You've helped show God's love to so many people. This person that I'm returning to you, do not seek revenge. Do not cast out and cast aside, but to receive them just the way you've received and brought others to the faith. Although he's a faithful individual, don't lose sight that you have this common bond, and you need to bring him back and accept him once again as a brethren in faith and find that common relationship, not to look back on the past of things that he might have done or did against you and why he left your care originally, but to receive him just the way Christ received all people, all sinners, and has forgiven all sinners. So, you know, Philemon has shown great expression of love and a desire and a compassion to share the word to people that didn't know. So underlying here is, here's someone that's a Christian, and because they have this Christian faith, make sure you stand strong with them as well. Don't just push aside and have this at a personal relationship, but understand that because you have that common bond, you should especially make provision to find that common bond and to go under the layer of superficial issues and find how you can support this person coming back into your life and being a member in the faith with you. So does that help set that up a little bit differently for you, Doc?
You're saying that he's being reminded that if he lives his life in a manner where he shows love for all of his holy people, that's going to mean this guy too.
Exactly. And you know, this person really came to support Paul. He's in prison with Paul. He's you know, really shown his compassion for understanding of Christ and faith in Christ.
The servant?
The servant, yes. And now Paul is sending him back to his master and saying, here, you know, this person needs to continue this way. You adopt him the way you put your faith in front of others. put your faith, again, ahead of your own issues. Put your faith in front of why this person and any wrongdoings that have happened between you. In fact, Paul goes later on to the letter and says, you know, if he owes you anything, I will pay you anything that you're owed. But forgive him and accept him. And because you have this common bond in faith, and that's one of the things that I really took out of this, is to understand this so often, you know, we get lost in our care for others, especially those that are doing evangelical work. You know, they go out and they really spread the word and they seek to bring new news to new people. But oftentimes they jump over those that are struggling or those that are within their own faith and right next door to them in their journeys in life.
Some of them may have conflict with.
Yeah, and kind of pass over that, right? And allow gaps to form between them. And clearly what I think Paul is doing in this letter is reminding us that we have a deeper relationship that goes beyond the superficial issues of conflict with ourselves, okay? You know, it's easy as you go through congregational life, and we go through discussions similar to this, you know, what's right and wrong with the style of worship, with the time of worship, you know, the sequence of prayers. There's all this, you know, kind of positioning and jockeying for what everybody thinks is right. And what drives congregations apart usually is superficial issues like that, where they start to put those issues ahead of the fact that they have this common bond in Christ, and what unites them and what united them originally to that congregation was that common bond in Christ, that Christ led them to that church, led them to that particular congregation, led them to become members, and stand together and reach down deep and pull that unity back up to the surface instead of pushing it down and saying, oh, that group only wants to do this, this group always does that. You know, I don't, you know, push that all aside and remember first and foremost that you stand united in Christ, and your relationship with these people will always look differently and should always look differently. You should be able to look beyond minor differences. You should be able to look beyond any issue of hardship that may have come between you and go back to that issue of common faith.
Interesting verse.
Yeah. Well, it is. And I think, you know, one of the things we've discovered in our journey, and I'm sure you all can relate to this, is that as we discover friendships, and Dawn, you said it years ago, somewhere in our other stages of this ministry, you know, where we've gotten to know people differently because we found a common bond in our faith, right? We created a deeper understanding of a relationship. Now, it's not to say we talk to them more frequently, all right, or we hang out together often. But when we see them or not see them, they're in our hearts and on our minds in a different way than they ever were before. We don't lose them from our hearts, right?
So we're just so glad that through our ministry we've been able to open up opportunities to find other Christians. Is that what you're saying?
I think when you find the issue is that when you find that connection at that layer, at that level of understanding of common faith, the relationship is different at that point in time. And if you're accepting to your faith, you'll find that relationship is eternal now, regardless of minor differences that may come up, right? Or any other issues that may come up, whether it's time and distance, people have moved away. Those that have put us on our hearts, those that we have touched on their hearts, where that was faith-oriented, you know, relationships, these things will stay with us. Just in conversation with somebody this week, you know, somebody that had been working with somebody for a dozen plus years, very friendly relationship, very, very, you know, aware of each other for history, but never understood each other's faith until recently. And both of their eyes have been opened to understand each other differently at a layer of depth and understanding and care and love, if you will, to a whole new opportunity for that relationship to exist and to exist differently going forward. And I suggest that that relationship is one that will be forever changed and forever good, that no matter what comes up, again, jobs change, people change, distance, people move out or whatever, that unity that was found in these discussions this week, that common bond is something that will maintain that relationship on eternity and will always weigh on our hearts, such that, and here's where Paul goes, such that we pray for them and we care for them even though they may not be with us, right? They rise up in our hearts, and because of that, we're able to support and care for them. So, you know, it's offering a couple of conversational points around that. We hear Paul write in Philippians chapter 1, verse 9, "And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight." More and more in depth, right? So as we come to move beyond physical friendship, relationship that's built on proximity, if you will, neighbors, that sort of thing, and we go down to something that exists from within each of us at the core of our nature, and that is the sort of understanding of a faith that unites us. That then becomes part of a bond, but also part of a love expression that can grow and should grow out into the community. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 9 also, we hear this. "For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives you." So it's this prayerful encouragement. And Paul does such a great job of it. This is, you know, one of the things that I admire most about your mama. You know, we talk about mom saying, thank God that she's saved. We really do thank you, Lord, for delivering her through the storms of Oklahoma this week.
Well, why did he move her there?
Yeah, well, there's probably 1,000 other reasons that we need to. Well, yeah, she is safe, and we do thank the Lord for her safe keeping through those storms.
Not quite over, but get him.
Yeah, and as somebody wrote, it won't be over until June, right? So we have anxious moments ahead of us as well. I lost my train of thought for a second here, but let me try and get back on track to where I want to go with this. The issue of praying for others as a natural expression of a combination of relationships, that unity, and I know in our prayer life that there are people now that stay on our hearts no matter what interactions we physically have, right? People will pray for on a Sunday morning or now on Monday evenings. Things that are happening in our life that we just start caring differently for others, and we want to invoke God's authority and power in the world to care and watch over them at a distance in a time and place away from us. And that's where Paul is at in these conversations. And he does this so well, and that's where I was going. And I admire the ability to maintain contact when there's distance apart. One of the things your mother does great is she's always been able to send out a brief note or a card or something, and she just does it, right? And it happens so frequently and naturally for her. She's got a built-in database of dates and occasions where she knows things are just need to be communicated. So she has these touch points, let people know she's out there and let people know she's thinking about you, right? And that's what Paul does so great through all his letters and all his books, is it's this reminder from afar that I am with you, that God is with you, and together we are strong, together we have this relationship, and I'm praying for you, I'm lifting you up. And we should do this in earnest whenever we have, you know, not just, and I want to be cautious here, because we need to lift all people up in prayer. But we need to pay attention to make sure that we don't forget those that are faithful as well, those that are trying to discern where they are at with their faith journey, those that are trying to do God's will, and make sure that we lift them up just as much as we lift up those who are in need, who either are of the faith or not of the faith, right? And not lose sight that even people of strong faith need to hear your voice of encouragement and your voice of prayer. And that's really kind of at the core of where I want to go with that. Dawn, does that lead you anyplace? Have you thinking of anything?
Well, of course, you know, I'm still back at Paul in jail and the servants, and I'm still trying to understand how the servants got out, but Paul couldn't.
He wasn't in prison in this particular time, but he had been with Paul, and he had been arrested in through Paul's actions. And through
what's
other
amazing is how much influence Paul was able to have from the jail. I mean, that he's sending the servants anywhere when he's in jail still is pretty intriguing.
It really is. And that's what I talk about. You think about his circumstances and the trials that he's going through, but what he's thinking about is the ministry, and the ministry in the life of others, right? The servant, this other leader, Philemon, and how they are to join back together to strengthen the church as a whole, to keep the church from splitting.
Just trying to figure out what he can do to keep it moving forward.
Well, to help people move forward, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So let me give you Matthew Henry's commentary on this, because I think this does a great job. Matthew Henry does a great job in putting my thoughts together anyhow. Faith in Christ and love to him should should unite saints more closely than any outward relation can unite the people of the world. Paul, in his private prayers, was particular in remembering his friends. We must remember Christian friends much and often, as their cases may need, bearing them in our thoughts and upon our hearts before our God. And it's just a balancing thing, I think, that's happening here. It's just for us not to lean to one side and not pay attention to the other, is that we have this common walk in faith, and all around us, God has surrounded us with people that care for us, be it pastors, assistant pastors, mothers, fathers, friends that are walking the faith and maybe strong in their faith. But understand they may be needing your support as well.
You think some of it is about building your core of friends with belief and or building the church through your belief and now sharing it with non-Christians and converting them? Is that what is the driver here?
No, I think the driver is to understand what to live a Christian life is about. I don't think it's about anything. Those things happen. Those are an outcome, okay, what you're describing. But I think the driver here is to understand what it's like to live a Christian life, to love each other, to lift each other up in prayer and support, to cast aside differences that separate us and to find unity. If we are all each as individuals on that journey, things you just said will come about more naturally and will be strengthened and the body will grow and it will carry out the mission, right? But it starts with individuals feeling loved, feeling comfort, feeling encouraged and empowered through the support of God's people to do more.
Well, it's really back to affirmation.
Yeah.
To be there for your Christian friends, to support them, to lift them up so they can continue to do God's work.
Absolutely. I mean, think about the storyline here. You know, here's this servant that left his master. And, you know, so there's something that went on there. There's something that separated. And Paul is writing this person to say, remember your faith. Remember what you do so easily to others. So do it to this person who left you. Right? Cast aside any vengeful thoughts. Cast aside any disrespect or disregard that each have had for each other. Whatever caused that separation, just as you have presented the faith in the church to non-believers, do so to this believer, right? And that's a powerful statement, you know, to remember that even each of us will sin again and each of us will have some problem in our life. And if we can't find, as believers in Christ, to forgive each other in Christ, those who believe, how can we truly forgive those who haven't come to the faith yet, right? And that's really at the core of the message, is here's a believer, remember what you do for non-believers, you should do equally for a believer. Forgive and welcome them into your house, right? And that's a tough thing for us to get beyond sometimes because we feel that pain of ourselves and somebody that may have hurt us particularly that we thought, you know, we've heard and know people that have lost relationships and have never been able to forgive that person because they gave so much to this relationship. And how could this person leave me after what I gave them, right? Well, if you're faithful and you can forgive the sinner who is not faithful, why can't you forgive the sinner who is faithful and allow that person to be on some level of acceptance in your heart, right?
I struggle with what you're saying a little bit, but now that we only have 5 minutes left, I guess we're not going to get to the bottom of things.
Well, where do you struggle at?
Well, it seems like you keep saying the opposite. You keep going back and forth on it. That's how it feels in my head. I'm listening to you saying, as you treat Christians, you should treat everyone. It's part of, like, is the servant a Christian?
Yeah, the servant came to faith. The servant is a faith. And Paul's sending him back, saying, here's this faithful person, reminding now Philemon that as a faithful person yourself, to look beyond the differences that separate the two of you.
Okay.
Right?
I hear you now.
Okay. Well, I apologize to our listeners if I wasn't, you know, in that zone that helped make that a little bit more comprehensible. As I said today in worship, as we were looking to find people to speak in different languages for Pentecost Sunday up ahead, that I tend to speak, and people have said to me, they don't understand me, so I must be speaking in a different language. So that may have been happening to us here today. But really at the heart of this is, you know, is to accept that others that need and have struggled, and particularly where there's this faith bond between you, that should be a higher call for acceptance and forgiveness. And I hate to say it that way, but that's really where this message kind of leads. You know, as we would forgive anyone, as we should, as Christ forgives us, and offer that forgiveness and grace to each and everyone, we should especially be mindful of those who have fallen away from us, who we have this common bond with.
So it's like if you've come far along enough in your faith that you love all of God's holy people, then you should be able to take that knowledge and use that when and if you have differences with anyone of faith that you associate with.
Absolutely. And on a similar level, but different, just to maybe help close this off a little bit, we think of the story of the prodigal son, right? And the son returning to the father, and the father welcoming him back, right? And the other son being jealous of, you know, I've been here all this while by your side, yet, you know, he ran away from you and you know, did not return, and now you welcome him back as if nothing had happened. Well, this is exactly what's in this letter for us, as if nothing happened. Accept this person back into your life as if nothing happened. And the unity of family, the gift of love through family, is what the story of the prodigal son is all about. And the unity of God is to receive that person wholly and completely as if nothing had transpired. So I hope this made some sense for you all out there today. I really hope that you're spending some time and considering what the gifts of family have been all about for you this day, and had a chance to enjoy whatever time you shared together as family. And we want to thank you for continuing to support this ministry. We're very excited. We did not mention, we said it briefly somewhere in the conversation tonight, but we are continuing on with our prayer services here in Chesterton at 6:30 at the Conduit Building behind
on Mondays
behind the frontline offices there in Chesterton. And it's open to the community. And we found our first 3 weeks to be very spiritual and wonderful to our personal journeys. And we're sure that
we'd love you to join us.
Yeah, we'd love for you to join us, and we're sure you'll find the same opportunity that we found. Do you want anything you want to say in addition to that?
I just am so thankful that Marie is okay, and the floods aren't getting her, and she's warm and safe, and that's all we can hope for some days.
That is true, and we just thank God for the blessing of safekeeping. So, we are going to say goodnight for this Sunday, and we hope you join us again next Sunday as we enter into another discussion on another selected verse. This is Doonland Christian Living Today, and we wish you a very happy Mother's Day and a wonderful week ahead.
Bye now.
And we leave you with Michael W. Smith.
Woo! Are you guys ready to worship out there tonight? I know you know the song. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord.